Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron along with Justin Nimmergood. Justin, how's it going?
It's going fantastic, Bruce. I don't know about you, but I am fired up for this week. Something about the winds changing, maybe it was the fallback, you know, a couple weeks ago. And obviously this coming week with Thanksgiving, which for me is personally one of my favorite holidays of the year. I'm extra fired up this week. So I'm excited for the show.
I am too. I'll be actually participating. I'll be going to Minneapolis to see some family up there, so it will be unmistakably different than Texas in Minneapolis. So I'm getting fired up for that, and packing some warm clothes, and getting like you said, getting charged up for the holidays. You know, that can be a stressful time. You know, I know that some of the folks I'm working with are kind of dreading the holidays, clients and whatnot, and part of the coaching is helping them set good limits and boundaries and stuff like that so they don't get sucked into any family discord.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that. So even just as of last night, you know, Naomi and I were kind of, you know, doing some spitballing of our own. I felt like we were role-playing, actually, and role-playing around. So we're going back to Texas for Christmas, and we were just going through potential scenarios, because for those of you that know the Nimmergood household, you know that some of our family dinners can be more like a board of directors meeting than an actual dinner, depending on the night and everyone's mood. So it was just kind of funny. And so I can really resonate with that, Bruce. Actually, I'm glad you brought that up. And it's funny. It's one thing that I've actually had the privilege and pleasure, or maybe not pleasure, but of actually coaching some people through. I don't know if you have as well from time to time.
Oh, yeah. Definitely coaching some folks. You know, one of the big mainstays for the Christmas and Thanksgiving and Christmas holiday schedule for clients that are, you know, involved with that type of thing is the type of communication. You know, and the big, there's passive, there's assertive, and there's aggressive communication styles. And man, it's just this time of year that we just kind of lean, you know, want to be from the high end of passive to right there all the way up to the last part of assertive. You know, you don't want to be aggressive, but certainly the more assertive you can be in your communication, that can be, you know, purposeful and I don't want to say purpose driven. Don't want to steal from that. Don't want to rip off that. But yeah, so you know, having that purposeful and assertive communications, you know, style can go a long way for the holidays for the family as well as your own sanity. So I kind of practice what I preach as well. So I don't have not going into any firefights in Minneapolis. This is good. It'll be
you forgot the fourth style of communication. Yeah, the passive aggressive communication.
There you go, man. And that is you sure want to stay away from that.
Yeah. Look, that's those are the knife cuts that hurt and hurt for a long time.
Or you walk away like, did I just get cut by a knife? Like that's the whole, yeah, the whole passive aggressiveness of it, right? And so certainly we don't want to perpetrate that, but then able to defend or deflect from that style is an art of itself. So yeah, that's just one element going into the holiday season that clients have to deal with. So
yeah, and For the listeners out there, I guess just to kind of tee you up for what we're going to talk through, here today, right? So we're especially as the season, this season is approaching on us, the holiday season that is approaching near, obviously starting this week with Thanksgiving. We thought it would be mindful of us to just take a step back and just kind of spend the time together, Bruce and I, and talk through some of those, not only those scenarios, but also just some of the other active use cases that we're seeing in the market right now before we reset and obviously have some new guests coming on in the coming weeks here, which we're excited to tell you about that framework and toward the end of the show today. But we just thought to be mindful, right? Because so often, especially even in our own show format, we get caught up in what our format is. It's healthy to take a step back and see what's going on in the broader context of the world that we can also be mindful of. So I thought it would be a good opportunity to do that again in light of the holidays season that's upon us, which as eventful and fun as it can also be quite stressful, as Bruce so kindly teed up at the front half of our show here. So and I know for me, Bruce, one thing I just wanted to kind of put out there for us to chat about for a couple minutes here is just, a lot of what we coach on, at least what I find myself coaching folks on day in, day out, and certainly for the last couple of years is, everything goes back to sort of value systems and sort of what they were raised with. And so this concept and notion of holidays and the holiday season, it's got so much weight to it, right? It's so impactful for people. I mean, a lot of people's subconscious triggers are from these memorable moments in time. And if you think about, someone's life, if they're a 30-year-old, over the course of 30 years, or a 40-year-old, or a 50, over the course of that time frame of their life, memorable moments are what? They're maybe memorable vacations, their birthdays, and their holidays, right? So this is getting deep into the psychology of the coaching world and what we live in. And I even, obviously from time to time we'll do exercises where we go back to those places, as to uncover some of that wiring and to obviously, put appropriate tactics, in place for them to be mindful of them moving forward. I don't know if you find that. Are you doing any of that work with some of your clients today?
Oh yeah, certainly. Certainly, I have some young clients that I'm working with, kind of Generation Z types, I guess you might say. And they just dread the holidays because it's almost like a familial report card, you know? Here, I'll replace. I'm going to be Justin's Uncle Joe, right? So, okay, here we go. Ready? I'll be. So, Justin, I hear you're working with something called Bablet. What the hell is that? Is that even a real job? I mean, chief, what officer? I mean, I don't even know what you're talking. You know what I mean? He's like, oh.
Yeah.
And so, that wouldn't happen. That I was just me being the mean Uncle Joe. That would never happen. But you know what I mean? Then you have to explain. It's almost like, people have to explain. It's like the year in review. Like, what are you doing? And are you being successful? And what are you doing for the people that I coach that are in college? Like, how is your semester? Which is like code for whatever, right? Like your grades, are you passing? You failing? Are you moving forward in your life? Right? Or
No, it's just, yeah. Well, I again, I my metaphor was, and similar to exactly what you said, was board of directors meeting. It's like sitting down and you said report card, board of directors. So, what's going on with the business? Yeah, how's that? So, and again, my family may be a little bit different than others, but they get pretty far into the weeds. Like, they want to know metrics, they want to know analytics, they want to know, how much top line have you driven so far? Like, it's like, okay, wow, is this a business meeting or is this a? And listen, I love them to death, so I don't want to take anything away from my family. But it's like, if that's what I'm experiencing, and all the tools and the things that I've obviously assembled a pretty nice toolbox, coaching toolbox for myself over the years, and I've done a lot of work, and as have you. Imagine what some of the I don't want to say average, but the folks out there that maybe haven't been as fortunate to have the time to invest in this facet of their life and assemble this type of toolbox. Imagine what they are, you know, struggling with around the holidays when those type of scenarios come up.
Oh, right? Yeah. Yeah, either avoiding it like the Dickens or self-medicating or just going in there guns blazing with that's going to be a less than favorable outcome, you know, for everybody, because the rawness of the dialogue. So yeah, I mean, without having the coaching or assistance, you know, it can be a very negative interaction or interaction. So yeah, it's important to have those communication skills on board, like you said, that you have a repertoire of responses and also, you know, kind of coming in there with your own brand, your own thesis statement, and people maybe resonating around that, you know, versus you resonating, you know, you wrapping around their questions, their kind of right. You can take the lead in the interaction, and now you've got them responding to your leads, which is always good. It's a better, you know, it's a more comfortable place when people are responding to your lead versus vice versa.
Absolutely, yeah. If and where possible, that's a great way to format anything. You know, highly recommend that. It's obviously, you know, listen, holidays or not, I mean, it's always a system of, you know, what are we a product of? And what is our decisions to advance our lives and to shape our lives to be better? And obviously that's kind of the whole framework, genealogy of coaching, right?
Yeah.
So I do get excited though for the holidays, you know, all kidding and kind of joking aside, I get excited for holidays for a variety of reasons. And it's obviously nice to see everyone again. It's funny because there's this, so I've also experienced this with traveling too. And I think it's a similar phenomenon, which is, I call it the concept of reentry, which is like when you go a long time or, you know, at least a couple of days or a couple of weeks without seeing someone or really interacting with them. In the case of some families, you know, it's weeks, months, maybe even years. And you put everyone together and all those personalities and all that baggage together in that room or in that space for that time period, it's kind of like a ticking time bomb.
Right.
And so I feel like part of our job as leaders and certainly as coaches is we're like the, you know, secret agents within those scenarios where we're kind of
No. We're like the asbestos plates on the space that's re-entering the atmosphere. You know what I mean? And it does that way it doesn't burn up when it re-enters, right? I like that.
Yeah. 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 You get it, right?
I've had to wear the asbestos suit on many a Christmas. So yeah, man. That's so true. You know, everybody's and kind of being mindful in the moment of everybody else's situation, and that's where, you know, in a pinch, I can get other people to start talking about themselves and have some clarification questions, and then get, you know, go down their rabbit hole versus go down mine. You know, just just explaining this show is a beat down. Now it's in LA Talk Radio. Yeah, well, where can I dial in? You can't. Well, what do you mean? Well, it streams live. What does that mean? Well, it's on the internet. But I thought you said it was on iTunes. It is. You know. But I thought you said it was archived on the station. Well, it's archived on the station. But I thought you said it is on iTunes. Well, is it live? Yes, it streams live. Well, then it's not on the radio. Okay. It's not. It's just called LA Talk Radio. Oh,
it's
my God.
It's internet. Yeah. Try to explain it to, old phobies. Well,
go through that.
It's almost not even worth it. It's not even worth it.
Yes, I
am. Yeah, it's tough. You know, I've shared a little bit, you know, but not too much. But you're like, you know, I've had those like, I feel like every time, you know, not necessarily was just with the family, but going back to those scenarios. Well, what do you have to, so what is that again? You're doing consulting. Well, so what is that again? And I hate to say it and hate to throw the older generations under the bus, but it's like they
go ahead, man. I'll give you a pass. Go ahead.
They either don't get it or buy it, or they don't believe it. And either way, they're always, I shouldn't say always because always is a misnomer, but they are very frequently, let's say, skeptical, let's say.
Well, look, this is great. I want to park the bus. What do you mean they don't believe it? The other stuff I get is kind of bad, but we mean they don't believe it. Like they think you're just blowing smoke up their tail, or what do you mean?
Well, yeah. Yeah, because they okay, so I'll give you an example. The utilization, for example, of older generations versus younger generations within social media and how they're using social media is very different. And yes. So I believe, and what I've observed is that the old generations see us as smoke blowers, see us as the fake it until you make it generation, whereas older generations barely uses social media, or it's like a very, you know, statement of fact oriented. And it's funny because they ask questions like I can't explain it any other way than the way they ask questions of us feels inauthentic. It feels like they're asking questions to try to bust us, not because they genuinely care.
Oh, come on, hit me with a couple of those questions that seem like I'm trying to catch you in a speed trap. Like,
okay,
so you have
my favorite one is, oh great, so what type of clients are you working with today, you know, which is basically their way of saying, is your business monetizing or not, which sometimes they'll ask that head on. Which I get, like, listen, you're an older generation, you're used to a salaried job and whatever, the whole concept of being a 1099 or being a consultant, or, you know, running your own business, for example, for a lot of those folks is foreign to them. So that concept alone is kind of new. And then talking about, you know, the way consultants or influencers monetize a business is just abstract to them. Like they don't get it, you know? So they'll ask a lot of questions around that. They'll ask a lot. So what does your typical day in the life look like? So when you post stuff like this, is that what your day is made up of? It's almost like they're kind of denouncing what you do, versus, you know, actively engaging and trying to understand it. So like I said, I always go in with a bit of healthy hesitancy, you know, into those situations, because a lot of my experiences have been inauthentic and lacking genuine sincerity, you know.
Oh, I'll tell you. So, and look, I'm an older guy and I get a similar beef. I don't want to put my spouse underneath the bus, so I'll blame my imaginary CPA as well. They'll say, hey, well, how's your day? I'm like, well, you know, I saw some clients, but well, gosh, you've been in the office already like 8 hours and you've only walked away with, you know, here, I can hear the abacus in the background, ching, 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 like, hey, wait a minute. That's not the metric that I use, you know. When I'm seeing clients, obviously, that's, you know, revenue ongoing and coming in. But on my hours that I'm not seeing clients, I'm doing things that produce more clients and therefore continued revenue. So there's the work that you don't, you know, there's those hours, but those hours are spent either on social media or following up on leads or responding to calls and emails. And, you know, certainly myself being a one man band over here, I mean, that dude, that just between the emails and the calls and social media types of things, dude, I mean, they just fills up, you know what I mean? So I usually measure, if I was going to use money as a metric, I would either do A, weekly, or B, well, I mean, for me, just Bruce Cameron, you know, weekly or monthly, right? Because obviously there's overhead and things that have to get paid and whatever else. But, and I continuously, you know, and then when it's time to pay taxes, like I get bitched at, like, hey, you didn't pay enough in quarterly taxes. I'm like, dude, you didn't think I was making any money. Both ways. Hey, you know, you should have been at least pulling out, you know, $5,000 a quarter in tax. Like, what are you, I thought you were all, you know, what is it? Either I'm sitting here, you know, eating bonbons and watching Gomer Pyle, or I'm, man, what the hell? You know, so it's interesting. Just kidding. They didn't do that. But you know what I mean? The frustration, even as an old guy in the space who's a private practitioner or a one-man band consultant, you know, I'm not, you know, connected like you are, you know, to a venture per se, but I mean, I do have clients that are corporate clients, but anyhow, but at the end of the day, it is interesting to, you have to have a certain level of resilience, one, to be in the business, and then, Naomi was saying last week, and others have said, you know, hey, having that faith in yourself and continuing to push, you know, and do what you love and continue to refine your strategies and you know, you'll get there or wherever there is, or in a case like me, right? You know, in the middle of a practice that does more than sustain itself. So, I mean, at the end of the day, it's a great victory and I'm blessed. Always looking to do a little bit better, of course, but anyhow, so I feel your pain.
Yeah.
Man, even though I'm road on years. Yeah.
Yeah. I appreciate that. You know, I acknowledge that, by the way, that's not a standard statement of what I said, and that there certainly are, there is a subset of old generation that gets it, that can empathize, obviously yourself included. But it's tough, you know. It is definitely difficult working with the other facet of it, of that group that doesn't get it, that is very hypercritical. And I feel like I've lived a lot of that for quite a lot of my life. And that's actually part of why, you know, I feel like I have the value to offer that I do, you know, to the clients that I do coach, right? So it is a double-edged sword, but it's just something that I wanted to bring up and be mindful that we, you know, as coaches, we acknowledge that pain point, you know, that maybe some of you listeners are out there and are facing near the holidays, right? During the holiday season, or certainly in those heated holiday environments, you know, where your Aunt Irma, you know, gets totally toasted, you know, over Thanksgiving dinner and starts blurting off, and you know, like I've seen and been a part of it all, believe it.
Yeah. And look, at the end of the day, I mean, we were blessed to wake up today and to be able to live this day, and you know what that means? We need to try to be of service and be as positive as we can, and allow that positivity and remind ourselves of some positive things about ourselves, and to not define ourselves based on others' perception of us or a select group of family members or enemies or frenemies or whatever, right? That, you know, it's that, you know, and I do have this miniature board meeting, not like at the level you do. I do have a miniature board meeting with myself every day, and, okay, what am I going to do? And, you know, here's a couple of things on the list, and, okay, what's the attitude and spirit? And, okay, what am I grateful for today? And boom, you know, just get in there and start doing the work and see what happens. You know, I think you have to have faith, because you can't make everything happen. You can do your part, right? And some people do their part better than others and harder than others. But even, you know, even our Grant Cardone friends and the 10 times rule, yeah, you throw up 10 times more stuff, something's going to stick. Make no mistake about it. But at the end of the day, you know, these other people are executing their free will to engage in your services, or your time and your services. So yeah. And I just, you know, again, that positive psychology, that's why I got into this, to coaching, you know, coming from other more traditional medical models, which was just diagnosis and treatment and pathology and, oh, there's something wrong with you and this and that. And to really, you know, flip that script and go into this positive psychology paradigm, it's just so much better, and just made me such a better, not only clinician counselor, but obviously a true to form coach, you know, just really focusing on the strengths that people have and how they can hone those strengths and do better for themselves and others.
Yeah. You think about, you know, kind of the rest Western philosophy of things, right? And just pill for this, pill for that, and drug for this and drug for that. It's very antiquated, you know, because it's not sustainable. Sure, it might be a short-term fix or a, you know, milestone to get to the next, you know, major stepping stone, but it's not sustainable. You know, and you think about the dopamine release that happens from a lot of those, you know, substances out there. It's just a flood, and it overwhelms people. And obviously that's why people want to keep doing it, but that's not at all, you know, what we, I believe, you know, what we believe in, you know, as coaches, we believe in a sustainable model where you go in and you fix the root cause, right? You're not trying to cover it up. It's the actually going in fixing the problem versus like, the metaphor I use is the Band-Aid approach, right?
Right.
Which is a lot of what we see out there, unfortunately, you know, in society today. So, you know, lots to be grateful for, though, to your point. And I am curious, you know, just before we pivot off of the Thanksgiving thing. So you said you're going to be up in Minneapolis or Minnesota. What?
Yeah, the Minneapolis area. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so have some family up there, and such a interesting culture up there. Everybody's kind of earthy. I love going to Whole Foods. Oh yeah. Not a shaved leg in the place. Everybody's wearing Birkenstocks at 50 below. It's awesome. So
nice.
But it's always, it's always good to see. And they're like, where are you from? You're not, but that Canadian accent. Hey, you. Where are you, A? Like, no, A. Anyway.
What are some of the best, like, I guess, or your most favorite dishes that are kind of like your traditional dishes for Thanksgiving?
Oh, what we would have is some Southern red velvet cake. That's always a traditional favorite.
Oh, man.
Chicken and pastry, which is different than chicken and dumplings. It's a kind of a Southern pastry that's rolled out with the chicken, and that is another good favorite. And then some of the, even though it's not the turkey, but the East Coast, the pulled pork, you know, the pulled pork that they'll have off to the side with the more vinegar based, they call it barbecue sauce, but that's such a misnomer, me being a Texan. I can't. They call it that, but it is this kind of, you know, tomato, pepper, and it's good stuff. How about on your end? What are some of the Nimmergood dishes?
Well, it's interesting. So the Nimmergood dishes are making a reservation at the country club. So that was the Nimmergood dishes.
Real talk. All right. See what's on the line. What's on the buffet line?
Yeah. It's like, so my mom's running joke for the longest time was like, I made a great Thanksgiving meal. Yeah, you know, like those reservations I made.
Man, that was the same dude from the carving station last year, bro. That's some family, man.
Oh, man. Although I'll tell you, I was back there last month for my business trip, and I stopped in and saw the family for the night, and or for a couple of nights rather. And she made a home cooked meal first night I was there, and it was delicious. It was like this spiced sausage. So mom's been up in her game since I left the nest many, many years ago.
She's waiting for you to leave. Just kidding. Anyway,
yeah, but
you're the oldest,
you know,
right?
I'm the oldest, so yeah, so there, I you know, all again, all kidding aside, there were definitely years where she made the whole spread, and you know, it was a fairly traditional, right? We had turkey, we had the ham, the spiral Black Forest ham, we had the cranberry, one of my favorites was pistachio salad, which is basically like whipped cream with pistachios and marshmallows, and it's like more of a dessert than anything.
Nice.
My mom's apple pie, I will give her credit. That's one of her top five dishes. She makes a killer apple pie. So,
yeah.
But now that I'm obviously with, you know, a new woman, Naomi is, and so her side of the family. So I've, been a part of that now a couple of years running. Obviously, you know, Latina, so Mexican influence. It's a totally different spread. Okay, so it's.
Oh, I know our social media is going to be clogged with, I'll cook for you, Justin. Here we go. I started to see some traffic rolling in this week. Oh, man, okay. I think I know the source of this. But, yeah, that's good stuff, man. Good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Pozole and some of the you know, Mexican traditional dishes, which is just amazing. Yeah, quite delicious. So it's funny, just to wrap up on this subject, we actually, because her family is so large on out here in Southern California, we literally been invited to five different family Thanksgivings. And so I told her, like, because last year was kind of the first year of us doing it together and all that, and last year we did four. This year I said I can only handle two, honey. Like, that was insane. I mean, it was like getting up and going to brunch, and then you go to like a mid-afternoon snack, and then, you know, and just throughout the whole day, and eating at every meal, because it's obviously rude if you don't. And I felt like a fat pig by the end of the day, but you know, so yeah, we're only doing two different stops this year, thankfully.
How did you decide which two? Did you put names in a hat, or you jointly
we jointly came to decision. So there was two. It was kind of like last year was like the trial run. Like, we sampled everything last year, and I hate to say it, but kind of this year the ones we decided on were the ones that were not only the best food in our opinion, but also the best kind of experience for us in celebrating Thanksgiving. So not that the others were bad, because they weren't. So that's not what I mean by that, but just that it was they were standouts to us, let's put it that way.
Yeah. Well, that's good that you guys were able to get all that sorted out and go from there. That's why these trips, why if I force a, you know, force a travel situation, that kind of relegates us to the people in that town or state or whatever. But yeah, that's always is a good move to go there. Much last year, it took you about a year to get down to fighting weight. Now you're ready to go again. Like, oh,
yeah, yeah, it took me the whole year to get back. Yeah, just ready for the event again.
The event again.
It's all good. So, you know what's interesting, though, you know, we were talking about, and it kind of ties into this, but it's kind of obviously moving toward more of the coaching stuff is, or specific coaching stuff is, so this past week for me, I would say it was really a couple weeks ago, and this is going back to kind of the, I would call it closed loop coaching, right? It's so there's the piece of coaching that is admittedly motivation based, right? Motivation, what is motivation like? Motivation is like a shower. You gotta do it daily, right?
Right.
So, you know, there's that piece of it. And I think that's where, unfortunately, coaching gets this bad rap of being the rah-rah, you know, hype show.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a component to it. I'd say that's the activation component to it. But then there's the follow-through component of it, the execution. And that's really where changes occur, transformation occurs. And I implemented something within the last couple of weeks that I just wanted to share with, you know, the listeners out there. Not only for myself, I've implemented it with, you know, obviously I'm working with Vablet. You've heard that name now, if you've been listening to our show a couple times now, software company, and working with the sales team there. And every morning I have them, and myself included, I'm doing it as well. But I have them basically, we have like a group text message with the whole sales team on there. And early, first thing in the morning, they're texting in this group chat, which, you know, everyone on the team is a part of, myself included, their daily intention. And it's something I came up with a couple ideas. I didn't know how it would work, you know, if it would work, first of all, and how it would work and how it would be received. But it's been pretty transformational for us just in about 2.5 weeks that we've been doing it now.
Yeah.
Because what it does is it actually pushes people from thought into action, and more importantly, into accountability. And I love the fact that, by the way, you know, me as a leader in this case, and also as a coach by nature, I'm not the one that has to be accountable to them anymore, because now not only are they accountable to themselves, but they're also accountable to each other, right? As colleagues and as other sales professionals.
Nice.
So I highly recommend, you know, so as a little tool, I guess my tool tip of the week or whatever for the listeners out there, if you're, you know, we've mentioned maybe like morning meditation, which is also great, right? Morning meditation, set your intention for the day. But I would say take that a level further. I'm a big fan of meditating, but I'm an even bigger fan of writing an intention for the day down.
Yeah.
And if you want to take that to the highest level, write that intention down and send it or share it with at least a person or a group of people that you know and you can count on that are going to hold you accountable for that.
Okay. Man, that is a great technique. Like you said, it fills that role of an affirmation or a daily meditation, or as a complement to that. And it has the written component, which kind of it's the hemispheres of the brain involved. And there's an accountability component with their peers or others in their group, in the text group and whatnot in the company. So that is a very nice tiered inner behavior there. Yeah, my brother, that's good stuff.
Yeah, I just thought I'd share that because it's been pretty transformational for us. And I know a lot of what we share sometimes is story-based, but I mean, I just wanted to leave, I mean, our listeners certainly that have been with us for a while or that are new to maybe to this particular session or the last couple of weeks, leaving with something that's been just absolutely transformational for me and for a lot of the people that I'm working with. You put this in practice, and I'm not saying just half-heartedly, but if you actually put this in practice as I described it, it will work. Will work.
Even people who write down everything they eat lose weight, because just by virtue of the fact they're writing it down, it's modifying their behavior instantaneously. You know what I mean? So, no, man, that is a great technique, and that is a good one.
Thank you. Have you had anything like? I mean, I know you're working with a lot of your Rolodex of regulars. You've probably got your beat drum down as far as, hey, you know, I use this technique on this client or whatnot, but I don't know, maybe anything you could pull from your bag of tricks as far as.
Sure. Hey. Sure. I was, I was out to eat with, I'd say, a vendor, a place that I refer clients to that have more profound substance use issues or whatever. But anyway, they can't go to coaching, but they need the next level of care. But long story short, so there's this, you know, our waiter, I noticed that our waiter had like a spider web tattooed on his elbow area, all the way up to the middle of his tricep almost. It was like 10 rings. And I noticed on that spider web that it was kind of that dark green, that greenish blackish ink, which is really reminiscent from somebody who's been in a state penitentiary that uses like maybe cigarette ashes and water and a guitar string and a transistor battery. It's kind of a homebrew state level tattoo. And so I go to the guy like, hey, bro, I said, man, looks like 1, 2, 3, 4. Hey, 7 years. Is that state time? You did some state time. And the dude is like, he puts his tray down. I was like, man, how did you know? And I'm like, hey, bro, you know, I just know a little bit about what's like on the inside. I worked for the federal prison system for 25 years, this and that. Man, the guy, he hired me as his coach to help him reintegrate into society. And I have a
no kidding.
Yeah. Just, and he's of a different ethnicity, we might say, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, say no more. But, you know, and he's like, man, okay. And just the fact that a white guy would call out, just call out the tattoo and identify the state time. And, hey, man, are you doing okay? Are you readjusting? You know, what are your goals? Do you want to be working here at Golden Corral. It wasn't Golden Corral. I'm just saying that. It's my favorite place to put up. But I'm the head waiter at Golden Corral on the Corral Station Army. But the guy comes in and we set some good goals, and I think this guy's gonna go places. But just the fact that somebody that's outside of his socioeconomic sphere believed in him enough just to kind of pierce the veil, you know what I mean? When you see gang tattoos and stuff like that, people pretty much go, "Oh, that's not good." You know what I mean? They kind of get away from the guy. But old bull in a china shop, Bruce Cameron, you know, just, you know me enough. I mean, I call stuff out, but I do it in a loving way. Like, "Hey, dude, come here, man. Let's take a look at that spider web, man. I mean, hey, you know, it's there. It's public domain." You know what I mean? Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's brilliant, Bruce.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I mean, what's brilliant is having the confidence to say something to this guy that's on him, you know? I'm not going to say, "Hey, my name is Bruce, and I'm a white life coach here in South Lake." Right? Are you fucking kidding me? I mean, that's not going to happen. So it would be just like, "Hey, you tell me about that. Or how are you making it back into society? You know, are you satisfied? Where do you want to go? I can help you get there to where you want to go." And, bro, that's it, man. That's one of the fastest sales ever. I mean, the guy was going to follow me out and quit his job and jump in the back seat of the car. Like, seriously, like, he was like,
"Oh, man."
To go. But which would be nice. I could use that type of protection. Not really, but it looks good. But, but
everyone has to have their guy. Yeah. You know, mine now is Uncle George. But you know, everyone has to have their guy.
Could be my guy here once he's finished with his coaching. So, yeah, it's just those moments, Justin, where you see an opportunity to reach out to somebody and engage in a – it's kind of a process-level discussion, right? I mean, the content of the discussion is a spider web on his arm, but the process of the discussion is kind of several-fold. It's one, me understanding that he did time in a penitentiary, which is not going to be preschool, and number two, that he's out in society – and trying to make it, we're here in his work venue where he's on tip share as a busboy. And for him to see, you know, the light of a better job or a logistics job or a warehouse job, I mean, he would just love that. And overcoming the stigma of being a convicted felon. I mean, if you look at the, what, 6 in 100 Texans is a convicted felon? I mean, who cares? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, who isn't a felon? You know what anyway. But seriously, but in his head, that was a self-limiting belief, you know? And to me, that's just another day at the office, man. Shit, I did that for 25 years and then, you know, still have a component of criminal justice clients, always have to the present day. So, you know, that's just kind of a fun, serendipitous thing that was able to, you know, turn into a very meaningful relationship. And man, it's not about the remuneration. It's about seeing this guy, you know, get his goals and get to the next level. And I just get so much pleasure out of him just freaking out that he's, you know, "I can't believe, you know, I always hated people like you," whatever, you know what I mean? Really kind of breaking down barriers and you know, good stuff. So yeah.
That's exciting, Bruce, and I appreciate you sharing that, by the way. Great tactic, by the way. So, what I mean, really, that is a technique or is a tip. You know, I know you said, well, but it really is. And the tip is really the ability to read people. I mean, you could say it's almost tied to NLP if you wanted to, but I don't know if I'd go that far. But it's just the ability to read people based on your life experience and to not be afraid, to your point, to actually speak up. That's the difference right there. Is like, you could have put your tail between your legs and just you know, just sort of absorbed what you saw without saying anything to him.
But the fact that I engaged was a very meaningful opportunity for me, and I feel so much better for doing that, and I'm hoping he does too, right? And so, yeah, that, just think, had I just been shy and done nothing, just think of what a loss that would have been for both of us. And so, you know, it's not, yeah, it's not NLP, but it's looking at somebody and looking and doing a visual scan of the person. What do you see? Are they wearing jewelry? Are they not? Are they have scars, marks, or tattoos? How do they wear their hair? You know, there's certain kind of signatures that people leave on themselves. You know what I mean? Through, you know, if you saw me today, people ask me all the time, are you in the military? It's like, no, I just like to just throw on the sides. You know what I mean? And I just shave. Oh, man, were you in the military? Like, no, but close. I was in the federal prison system. Like, oh, as an inmate? Like, no, as a staff member. You know, I have to go down this whole rabbit hole. So, you know, that, you know, see a guy like me and people think I was in Desert Storm or whatever. And, you know, and thank you for your service. Like, no, man, I just got the military hair. But certainly, you know, looking at that, and it's kind of funny. I don't want to say something naughty, but it's kind of a derivative of the 80s nightclub skills. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
trying to get a dance with somebody, you know, like, hey, and you have to, you know, and you're trying to make that introduction to somebody. I mean, of course, it might have been, you know, a girl back in the day, but now it's not. Anyways, like, you know, you're looking at that person and you're seeing how you can engage. Here we go. I found it. You're seeing how you can engage with that person in a meaningful way that won't look creepy, weird, or, you know, awkward. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And you have a split second to do it too, right? And there's that moment of impact where you have that split second decision and it doesn't have to be a perfect quote unquote pickup line, but it has to be, you know, it has to be grabby enough. Right. And if you had said, hey, how you doing, man? Like, he'd probably been like, okay, it's another old white male, you know, just wanting to, you know, well, not necessarily a tip, but just, you know what I mean? Like, there's already preconceived notions, but you instantly built rapport with him.
Right. Right. And another thing, you know, on a spiritual note. Now, I'm just not going to say that. I'm going to say this, you know, for my Southern Baptist friends. I mean, it's almost as if it was so fast, and I don't know if I can think that fast, but it really was kind of, you know, Holy Spirit, or you know what I mean, or just kind of a spiritual sense. Just ask that guy that question. So, I almost asked it as fast as I thought about it. You know what I mean? So. Now, again, I'm pushing 60, so I don't know if it's the cart or the horse. Things get kind of fuzzy in the mind. But I do want to say that, you know, and it's more of a statement of the heart, you know, statement of the heart and like you said, a true intention toward this other human being. But really, I mean, had it not been, and thank God for his tattoo, man, because that spiderweb tattoo was what really, I don't want to do any puns here, but that's what really kind of brought it in or whatever. But it was a beautiful thing that he had that. And it gave me that, that's an NLP anchor, right? You talk about anchoring techniques where you touch somebody on the shoulder in NLP or whatever. So it was kind of an anchor. Now that I think about this, it was an anchoring technique on the tattoo, but it happened very fast and very serendipitous because the guy just kind of was in my presence for a second, took a plate and whack, got him. So there we have unpackaged an interaction.
We unpackaged a whole interaction, which is a use case in essence, and which is we're both each unpackaged an example of two practical examples of coaching and real life in practice.
Yeah, engagement. Certainly that engagement process is everything. If you want to be a coach, you got to engage potential clients. And boy, Justin, with what you do with that sales team and everything, I would think it's engagement. So not only are you engaging with your sales team, but those sales team members are engaging with potential clients. So, you know, those engaging skills are clutch. And we forget about that. You know, some people are good coaches and they have good techniques, but they're not good salespeople or good engagers, and they're kind of shooting themselves in the foot by not having that skill on board.
100%. Yeah, 100%, Bruce. And I know we're
just
kind of
about out
running
of time.
up on our time.
Well,
I
you're
just I
preaching,
wanted
man.
to
Preaching, right? Sorry to ball hog on you today,
Yeah,
bud.
no. I see, this is what I was hoping for today,
Oh,
right? So we
yeah.
achieved all our or at least as I think we envisioned it, our goals here for today. The one thing I just wanted to mention before we run out of time is I'm excited because, like I said, we're doing a lot of new things. You guys have hopefully noticed we've started in a fresh Instagram account that we've started, some posts on and are building that account as we speak. A LinkedIn page, which we're excited about. Everything, by the way, the concierge coaches for everything. And what you're going to see from us in the coming weeks is more of this type of format, along with the way we roll out guests. So we're going to actually be looking out to the market and kind of hand selecting based on a bit of a vetting or application process of fresh guests in the coming weeks. So stay tuned for details for that. So if you know of anyone, please refer them to us or refer them to come to us. We're going to actually have a bit more of a true application process because we're having a lot of requests come in. And believe it or not, we want to obviously make sure that the people that we deliver each and every week are impactful guests for you. So stay tuned for that. Bruce, take us
All
home,
right,
man.
take us to the house. Well, look, yes, as Justin said, please come by our social media pages at The Concierge Coaches on Instagram. We also have a Facebook, Concierge Coaches Show, on our Facebook, and that's always good to see. I can be reached at conciergecoach.net. And Justin, what is a website or a contact for folks to get a hold of you?
Yeah, it's just Nimmergood, NIMERGOOD.com. That's my website. You can contact me through that.
Excellent. So with that, we'll bid everybody a happy Thanksgiving week from all of us here at LA Talk Radio on the Concierge Coaches Show. And we hope to see you again next week for another exciting program. Take care and have a happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.